It was so anointed, and it was so spot on for Robert, of course, but for all of us, because it described what our ministry should be and what our relationship to the church should be and how we should love the church and cherish the church and serve the Lord. And I want to remind you all, especially the ones that were here Friday night, that you made a promise to the bishop and to Robert that you would support him in his ministry. And so I want to encourage you to do that, because in these days and weeks and months and years to come, he will no doubt encounter difficulties in that ministry. And it's our duty as a church body to support him, just like we should support all our clergy, priests, and each other as laity. So I want to encourage you and remind you about that. Let's pray real quickly. Lord Jesus, guide my heart, guide my mind, guide my tongue. Help me to speak your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our gospel today speaks of the Pharisees and Jesus. And this is a good point to talk about today, especially after Friday night, because what I want to talk about is our service and our ministry and our testimony. You know, priests and deacons and lay people, all of us have a ministry and a position that is different, but no one's position or ministry is less important than another's. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And it talks about the church being one body with many members. And I won't read the whole thing, but you've read it. And you know what it says. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but many." Down in verse 20, it says, "As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable." It goes on to say, "But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." So I can't say, "Rick, I have no need of you." I can't say, "Billy, I have no need of you," because everyone is indispensable, from the youngest person down up to the oldest person. Everyone is indispensable. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11, St. Peter wrote, "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who utters oracles of God, whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." And St. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who contributes, in liberality. He who gives aid, with zeal. He who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So, we all have a service to render to God first and to the church. And we all have a testimony to render to God, to the church, and to the world. We also have a service to the world. And those are the things that Robert was specifically equipped for Friday night, in a supernatural way, by the laying on of hands from the bishop. Now, our gospel reading from Luke chapter 20. I want to talk about why we serve, why we give testimony, and what we hope to get out of it. In the gospel reading from Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 38, we're introduced to the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees in the gospel were all about service and testimony. But there was a problem. There's a problem with the Sadducees. Their service and their testimony ended in the temple. And you'll see if you study the Sadducees, when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, after that the Sadducees pretty much ceased to exist because they didn't have a temple. They were concerned about two of their beliefs were that there was no resurrection from the dead. Another of their beliefs was that they believed only in the law. And when I say the law, I mean the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the law of Moses. And so their deal was to stand in the temple and make sure that all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed in accordance with the law of Moses. We have to make sure that we don't have the spirit of the Sadducees in us. We have to make sure that we honor the law, yes, we honor the commandments, but we acknowledge and hold fast to the grace that is given to us by Christ. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our sufficiency is from God, who has qualified us to be ministers of a new covenant, not in a written code, but in the Spirit. For the written code kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. There's another passage. And let's see. I think I have it written down. But anyway, it talks about Jesus confronts the Pharisees, and he talks about this letter of the law. And he says that you heap burdens on the people that are greater than they can bear. And you're not willing to lift a finger to help them. So we can't be like that. We have to approach our service and our testimony by the grace of God. And we have to not be like the Pharisees, because our ministry cannot be just within these walls. It has to go beyond these walls. And for years and years, our ministry here has been going beyond these walls. God has done it. And God will continue to do it if we submit ourselves to His will. Because His will is definitely that He wants all people to be saved. Amen. He doesn't want to lose a single one. Amen. We also know that everybody has free will and has to make that choice for themselves. And it's our duty to help them, to give them the information, to give them an image of the love of Christ. But our ministry can't go anywhere like Miss Bray said, if we don't take time to be still before the Lord and to really hear Him and to listen to Him, to be quiet and be still, to be able to hear the word of the Lord, to get into His word and to read His word, to hear what He has to say to us, to come to the church, to partake in Eucharist, because that's one of the main ways that grace can come into our lives. Now the Sadducees, they didn't like Jesus. In fact, they wanted to kill Him. And our gospel reading is it's down the list from a few stories. Luke chapter 19, verse 47 tells us that Jesus came to Jerusalem and He started coming into the temple every day to teach. Now the temple was where the Sadducees worked. It's where the Sadducees had their ministry and their testimony, although it was flawed. And so they're dealing out the letter of the law, and they're sticking to the law, which they say is the word of God. And then in walks who? The word of God. So imagine if you were one of those Sadducees and Jesus comes into the temple. He's messing up what you have going on. And isn't that what Jesus does? He messes up what we have going on. You know, we're in our own little things and doing our own little things before we become Christians and even sometimes afterward. And Jesus comes in and he messes everything up. But he fixes it. He reorders it and refashions it. And he speaks the Word of God coming from the Word of God to us and to everyone that's willing to listen. And so the Sadducees and our gospel reading today comes after the Sadducees question Jesus' authority in chapter 20. Comes after they question him about the taxes. And Father Mark spoke on these things too. And Jesus is still doing his thing. And the Pharisees, they lay out for him a problem in our gospel reading. And to me, it's almost like if you go to Cracker Barrel or one of those little stores and buy one of those puzzles that are like the nails that are all twisted up or the rings that are all twisted up, and the deal is you're supposed to kind of undo them, and they're practically impossible to get done, at least for me. It's almost like the Sadducees just toss that out in front of Jesus and say, here, solve this. They're not really looking for the truth. You know, they want to embarrass Jesus. They want to set him up. And ultimately, they want to kill him. So we have to ask ourselves, whenever we go to encounter Jesus, and really also when we read the Bible, it's very important that we ask ourselves, are we really searching for the truth? Do we really want our questions answered? Are we, and you see this so many times in so many places, are we really trying to seek the truth, or are we just seeking to win an argument? You know, are we really seeking the truth, or are we really trying to embarrass somebody else? You know, we have to be careful about that. And so Jesus, you know, he could have just said, look, I know what you guys are up to. It's not going to work, because Jesus knew everything. But he spoke to the heart of their question. And their question was, all right, Jesus, there's this woman who married and was not able to have children. There were no children that came from the marriage. So the husband had seven brothers. The husband died. And so you go through a succession of being married to the brothers, and none of the brothers were able to produce a child. And so they asked Jesus, whose wife will this woman be in heaven? And they asked them this because the Sadducees held to the Old Testament law or right, however you want to call it, that they were going by the Old Testament ritual. And their main concern was that people would continue to live on this earth. Their deal was, all right, marriage is for procreation. Procreation is for the continuation of the line, you know. And so if there were no children brought in this line, how is this line going to continue? And they didn't believe in the afterlife. Everything they believed in was here on earth, which is why I think when the temple was destroyed, they pretty much ceased to be a group. And so Jesus, he tells them a very unique teaching for them. He says, Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." So imagine those of you who are married, when you die and you go to heaven, you'll no longer be married to your spouse, because there will be no more procreation. The ultimate joy in heaven is the Lord. Amen. And Jesus. And our ultimate joy will be to worship our God. So, heaven, is it real or is it not? You know, there are people, even some Christians, that doubt the reality of heaven. And I can't blame them, really. I mean, we're human beings. We deal primarily in what we see, in our senses. And we can't see heaven unless God allows us in a vision. You know, I pray that we would all be like Stephen. Stephen was one of the first deacons, one of seven, who were ordained to carry out the ministry of the gospel. The disciples were busy praying and preaching the word and offering sacrifices, and the deacons were responsible for carrying out the distribution of bread to the widows and to the people in need. But if you look at the story of Stephen, you'll see that in his ordination, and the bishop preached on this in just an awesome way Friday night, that it was a lot more than just distribution and serving the table. The deacon's role is to preach the word of God, and as the bishop said and as the Bible said, to preach in wisdom with signs and wonders. And if you'll read on about the story of Stephen, you'll see that because of that, what happened? He was killed.
what we do, priests, deacons, like, we don't do it, we shouldn't do it, for any pats on the back. We shouldn't do it for self-gratification or glorification. We should do it to honor the living God, because we lay down our lives. To lay down our lives for the Lord. And in Stephen's death, as he was about to be stoned, he had a vision. He said, "I see the heavens open and the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father." And I pray that the Lord would give us all that. Sometimes in this life, we just need to see a little bit ahead. You know, we get beaten down at different times, and we need to see a little bit of the promised land, so that we can stay faithful and never give up. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Jesus lays out the truth for us, that there is a heaven, that we have a place there if we're faithful to Him and we're willing to do what He wants us to do and follow Him wherever He goes. Do you think Jesus would lie to us? No. He said, "If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Jesus loves us so much that He was willing to do everything He needed to do to die for our sins, to save us, gather us back to Him, because He created us. And His desire is for us to spend eternity with Him. And our desire should be for everybody in these streets of Fairfield, in our communities, where our houses are, in our nation, and in our world, that everybody comes to the knowledge of the Lord. So our service, our ministry, always to the Lord and for the Lord. We shouldn't let anything stand in our way. You know, not far from my house, there's a little church that has a sign, you know, the church has a sign and the message on this church's sign says, it said, "Is anyone going to be in heaven because of you?" And that's the question I want to ask each of y'all. Younger people, older people, husbands, wives, parents, single people, elderly. Is anyone going to be in heaven? You know, we all have, as I said at the beginning, our different roles. Members of the clergy have a role. Members of the laity have a role. Laity can go into places in certain situations that clergy cannot go. So as you leave today, try to keep in the forefront of your mind that question. Is anyone going to be in heaven? What are they going to see? Are they going to see your service? Are they going to see your ministry? Are they going to see your testimony? Spouses have a ministry and service to their other spouse and to their children if they have children. Children have a ministry and service to their friends that they encounter at school and to their family. Have a ministry and service to the people that come in contact with you. Elderly people, people that are older, your service is not done. Your ministry is not done, and your testimony is far from done. Because there are plenty of people that need to hear and understand what you've been through and what the Lord has done in your life. And parents, don't be afraid to talk to your children and to tell them about the victories that you've encountered through the Lord. Younger people, don't be afraid to talk to your classmates and your friends about the Lord. And if you have a spark of the Holy Spirit in you, and if you were baptized, you have that spark. Share that spark. You know, we've been having a big drought. There's a burn ban in this part of the state. But the spark that's in you, the spark of the Holy Spirit, we want that spark to set people on fire for the love of God and for His church. So, in closing, is anyone going to be in heaven because of us? You know, we're getting to the point in our culture, in our society, where it's no longer a gray area in many things. You know, there's a lot of contrast in our society. And it's either one way or the other. And, you know, 2 days from now, our country is going to make a decision. And I would pray that we all ask ourselves, what is our service? What is our ministry? What is our testimony going to do to further the kingdom of God? And, you know, in everything that we do, we have to ask ourselves, is anyone going to be in heaven because of us? You know, every day, we get up in the morning, and we should put on our testimony, right? Because when we go out, we have no idea of what we're going to encounter. We have no idea the hurting people us and need a touch of grace, which we have. And we need to be ready to supply that grace and that love to everybody that we come in contact with. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand for the reading of God's.